once more, you're my love of yesteryear.
Howdy, folks.
Yes, it is your old friend Singin' Sam. So let's just settle back and reminisce a bit. What do you say, huh?
A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens has, through the years, become one of the best loved of all Christmas stories. The traditional tale of the hard-hearted Ebenezer Scrooge and his transformation by the Christmas spirits has delighted and uplifted generations. As our special gift to you this holiday season, the Hardin County Radio Theater presents a locally produced adaptation of this wondrous tale. And now, the Hardin County Radio Theater production of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
Get away! Get away! Get away, I tell you! You're distracting my clerk! Get away before I take a stick to you! I want none of your singing here! Get away!
Sorry, sir. Merry Christmas, sir!
Ah, humbug!
Marley was dead to begin with. There's no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it, and Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail. Mind, I don't know what there is that is particularly dead about a doornail. Personally, I might have been inclined to regard a coffin nail as the deadest piece of ironmongery in the trade, but the wisdom of our ancestors is in the simile, and my unhallowed hand shall not disturb it. You will, therefore, permit me to repeat, emphatically, that Marley was as dead as a doornail. Scrooge knew he was dead. Of course he did. How could it be otherwise? Scrooge and Marley were partners for, well, I don't know how many years. Scrooge was his sole assign, his sole residuary legatee, his sole friend, his sole mourner. And even Scrooge was not so dreadfully cut up by the sad event, but that he was an excellent man of business on the very day of the funeral, and solemnized it with an undoubted bargain. Scrooge never painted out old Marley's name. There it stood years afterward, above the warehouse door. Scrooge and Marley. Sometimes people new to the business call Scrooge Scrooge, and sometimes Marley, but he answered to both names. It was all the same to him. Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. Hard and sharp as flint. Secret and self-contained and solitary as an oyster. He carried his own low temperature always about with him. No wind that blew was bitterer than he. No falling snow was more intent upon its purpose. No pelting rain less open to entreaty. Once upon a time, of all the good days of the year on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house. It was cold, bleak, biting weather, foggy withal. Although it was barely past 3 o'clock, it was already quite dark. and Scrooge had lit a candle to see by. His clerk, Bob Cratchit, had also lit a candle. The miserable wretch was warming his hands by it, wasting good time and money. Scrooge was just preparing to reprimand him when the door opened with a clatter.
Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you.
Close that door. Do you want to freeze us out?
Sorry. Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Ah, humbug!
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? You don't mean it, I'm sure. Merry Christmas, Bob.
Merry Christmas, sir.
Quiet! Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? Heaven knows you're poor enough.
Well, then, what right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
Good afternoon.
Don't be cross, Uncle.
What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this? Merry Christmas. Get out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older, but not an hour richer. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. Good afternoon.
Uncle.
Nephew, keep Christmas in your own way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? You don't keep it.
Then let me leave it alone. Much good may it do you. Much good has it ever done you.
There are many things from which I might have derived good, by which I have not profited. But I'm sure I have always thought of Christmas time when it has come round as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. The only time I know of when men and women seem by one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that it has done me good. And I say God bless it.
Bravo! Well said, sir!
Quiet! Let me hear another sound from you, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation. You're quite a powerful speaker, sir. I wonder you don't go into Parliament.
Don't be angry, Uncle. Come dine with us tomorrow.
Thank you, nephew. I'll starve first.
But why? Why?
Why did you get married?
Because I fell in love.
Because I fell in love. The one thing in the world more ridiculous, more repugnant than a Merry Christmas. Good afternoon.
Nay, Uncle, but you never came to see me before that happened. Why give it as a reason for not coming now?
Good afternoon.
I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you.
Really? Not even a trinket for your charming wife? A bauble for your pretty little child? Come, come, nephew.
I'm sorry you don't understand, Uncle. I came here purely out of the Christmas spirit.
When you go, I'll thank you to take it with you.
I'm sorry with all my heart to find you so resolute, but I have made this trial in homage to Christmas, and I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So, a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year.
Good afternoon.
Merry Christmas, Bob Cratchit.
Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Merry Christmas to you, sir. And you're another one, Bob Cratchit. A clerk with 15 shillings a week, a wife and family, I presume, talking about a Merry Christmas.
Mr. Scrooge, sir, I was wondering, sir...
Wondering is not what I pay you for, Cratchit. Your job is figuring. Totaling up figures in the ledger. And if you don't care to stick to your task and cease disturbing me with your...
Scrooge and Marley's, I believe. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Close the door! But Marley's been dead for 7 years. He died 7 years ago this very night.
I have no doubt his generosity is well represented by his surviving partner. At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and destitute. Many thousands are in want of common necessities. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comfort, sir.
Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons.
And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?
They are. Still, I wish I could say they were not.
Oh, I was afraid from what you said at first that something had occurred to stop them in their useful course. I'm very glad to hear it.
Under the impression that they scarcely furnish Christmas cheer, a few of us are endeavoring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. We choose this time because it is a time of all others when want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices. What shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
So you wish to remain anonymous?
I wish to be left alone. Since you ask me what I wish, sir, that is my answer. Now, I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I help to support the establishments I've mentioned. They cost me enough. Those who are badly off must go there.
Many can't go there, and many would rather die.
If they would rather die, they had better do it and decrease the surplus population.
You must not understand their plight.
It's not my business. It's more than enough for a man to understand his own business without meddling into the business of others. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. If you should reconsider...
Close the door! Good afternoon. Every Christmas it's the same. Money for this, money for that. Now I'm going home, Cratchit.
Mr. Scrooge, sir.
Well, what is it?
I was wondering, sir...
If you might leave for the night, eh? Well, say it.
Yes, sir.
And you'll want all day tomorrow, I suppose?
If it's quite convenient, sir...
It's not convenient, and hardly reasonable. If I were to deduct half a crown for it, you'd think yourself ill-used, wouldn't you, Cratchit?
Well, sir, half a crown,
And yet you don't think me ill-used when I'm forced to pay a day's wages for no work.
It's only once a year, sir.
Once a year. A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But I suppose you must have it. Lock all the doors and windows when you leave. And mind you, be here all the earlier next morning.
Thank you, Mr. Scrooge. Merry Christmas, Mr. Scrooge!
And if anybody can find
dollars, dear. Excuse me. Coming through here. Move aside, move aside. Coming through.
Elvira! Lauren! I swear! Last Christmas, how are you? How's little Bobby?
Excuse me. Move aside. Ladies, move aside! Let a man squeeze through.
Merry Christmas, sir.
Ah! Humbug!
Scrooge wended his solitary way through the bustling streets, finally arriving at the usual melancholy tavern, where he was accustomed to taking his usual melancholy dinner. But even here, he could not escape the dreaded Christmas cheer.
Mr. Scrooge, sir, Merry Christmas. Business is booming tonight.
Yes, yes, so I see.
You shall take our special Christmas dinner.
No, I shall not. Have you stew?
Yes, sir, but it's poor feast by now.
Stew!
Yes, sir, and a drop of port.
A cup of tea. And make it quick and silent, or I shall patronize another establishment.
Yes, sir.
Scrooge lived in chambers which had once belonged to his deceased partner. A gloomy suite of rooms and a towering pile of buildings up a yard. It was old enough now and dreary enough, for nobody lived in it but Scrooge, the other rooms being all let out as offices. The yard was so dark that even Scrooge, who knew its every stone, was fain to grope with his hand. The frost so hung about the black old gateway of the house that it seemed as if the genius of the weather sat in mournful meditation on the threshold. Scrooge felt no pang of remorse, no sense of guilt, for he had never known these weakling sentiments. But why then did his dark chambers seem so much darker than they ever had before? What was there waiting for him? He stood in the blackness, suddenly shaken by a chill, as though an icy hand had clasped its fingers round his heart. Then, slowly, he mounted the stairs. Once in his room, he knew he would be safe. Once locked behind his heavy door, this nameless fear that clutched at him would be gone.